And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we come to the place, praise the Lord, the conclusion of the whining and the complaining that has come from Job and his three friends. However, Job's last arguments are noteworthy, and while they may not be justifiable, they reflect his sincere beliefs, and it's only when the Lord confronts us with the truth that we can begin to change our actual perspectives. Next, Job further states he does not rejoice in the ruin of others, even his enemies. Although it may be challenging, instead of desiring their destruction, we should be praying for people that are opposed to us for their healing. Many godless leaders are blinded in mind and led astray in heart, and it's only by God's grace that they can ever find true life. We should be praying for that. Lastly, Job's highlights the importance of not living in fear of the crowd. Society often emphasizes pleasing the crowd through fame, social media, and other forms of popular elements. However, as Christians, we should speak to not to please the crowd, but to honor the King.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, like earlier today. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities. And oy vey! Gefilte fish, that's what I want. Okay. Matzo ball soup, those aren't big enough. We need more. Here it is. We're asking you, what do you think?
Don't get me going.
That's pretty good.
What's funny is that nobody realizes that when we're eating, that is how that goes. Anyway, we're asking you, what do you think? We want to know what you think. You can email us during the show. It's totally awesome. All you got to do is send it to david@hemusincrease.org. David@hemusincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. And by the way, when people do texting and they do funny things and comments and it's kind of irreverent, I love it. Okay, I know. You shouldn't do that. Yeah, I don't care. Guess what? I've been through way too much to care about stuff like that. I think it's the best thing in the world. So I just want to give props to somebody who sent a very cool, irreverent text. Very funny. Additionally, you can text us, and then you can call us. It's cool. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you will end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Here's a secret you don't know about Dynamite D, but I actually don't pay him, and talking to him is still like talking to somebody who laughs at your jokes.
And I do.
That's what's so funny. People think it's, you're paying him for that, right? No, no, no. He's just trying to survive the show just like you.
Pretty much.
Here it is. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you got something that's going on. If you've got a praise report, please share it. It's just a blessing for people to hear the things that God is doing. And God is doing things in your life. You might sit there and you go, well, I don't know. I'm telling you, I love those things where it talks about, you know, make a list of 10 things you're thankful for. You should never be legalistic about it. But boy, if you really examine all the things you should be thankful for, there's a lot more on an everyday basis than you might realize. How about the fact that you arrive wherever you arrive safely? Do you thank the Lord for that? I'm just curious. Because of the way that people drive, you think that's a miracle sometimes, right? Or anything like that, like hearing from somebody or blessing somebody or somebody blessing you, or just this moment where you know in throughout the day, the love that God has for me, it matters.
And it's important, Dave, because we can fixate our eyes on the negative and become so down and depressed, where sometimes you just got to be thankful for the little things.
Yep. You gotta be appreciative, because the Lord blesses us, and we're going to do a teaching in about 3 weeks. If you're not thankful, you're not going to like what he has to say. Anyway, so what I'm trying to do is just encourage you to do that. If you've got a prayer request, you've got stuff going on, it's like, I need prayer for this. It's like, I'm with you. I need prayer for stuff all the time. And a lot of times I'll tell the audience, I need prayer for this. And we told you last week, a lot of spiritual warfare been going on, okay? So I didn't tell anybody. Well, I'll do it in a little while. So anyway, I just want you to be praying for one another. I want you to be willing to pray with one another and participate. Plus, also, maybe you're really smart and you just really know the word, or maybe you just know the word. Bottom line is, you can answer trivia questions. So here's a trivia question. Where did Moses first encounter the Lord? What was his situation? You don't have to give me the perfect geography. You got to give me the situation. Get it? Where did Moses first encounter the Lord? I mean, really encounter the Lord. Right? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. We do have somebody calling in. I do want to remind people to be praying for your lost family members, because some people have family members that are just like, and you're just not sure, and it's like, keep praying for them. You never stop praying. You never stop petitioning. You never stop asking, period. You stop, no. You just don't stop. That's just the easiest answer. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Good. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
Gary, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing better than I did last weekend, because I was going through it a lot, so I feel a lot better today. So how are you feeling, by the way? You doing okay?
Well, I have felt worse, but I felt a lot better. So
I know, but I love that you say it that way. It's so good. Well, let's answer the trivia question. Let me pray for you, because I wanted to pray for the audience anyway, so it's a good stepping stone for me to pray for other people as well, as and you too. But let's do the situation first. Where did Moses first encounter the Lord?
I would say at the burning bush.
That is correct, Amanda! You are right. And it wasn't that there was no exposure to God, but boy, that's an encounter, which is substantially different than growing up and knowing and hearing about and so on and so forth. That was the Lord going, hey, bush is burning, but it's not burning. I have something to say. That's significantly more impacting, I think. And I love those burning bush experiences, because a lot of us have had those, right? Let me pray over you, okay, brother?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our precious brother. He's a dear brother, and we are asking for healing in the name of Jesus Christ. The authority that comes from you, Jesus, you have all authority in heaven and on earth. So we are asking for this healing for his body, for his heart, for his mind, in the name that you hold, the name above every name. And we ask you to touch him physically. And we've got people in our audience, Lord, they're hurting. They need help. They need some encouragement. They need some touch. They're down. They're physically down, mentally down. We ask you to touch them with your presence, because in your presence, a person changes. And we ask you to touch them in that way. Bless our brother. Bless this audience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, and I prayed for all of you yesterday, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Going into Job. How are we doing? We doing all right?
Doing a great day.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to take a few extra minutes on this because I have to. So here's how this goes. Job chapter 31. We're at the end of chapter 31. I'm just praising the Lord. I know you guys aren't probably praising the Lord the same way I am, but this has been one of the longest teachings I've ever done. So long. But we're at the end of it, and Job's just about done, but I want to catch up on his last couple of arguments, his last couple of minutes. So we are in Job chapter 31, and we are at verse 24. We're verse 24, okay? And so this is a great, great element for us to examine. So this is Job. He's still justifying. He's still putting himself out there. He's still saying, I'm a good guy, all that other stuff. But listen to what he says in verse 24. Have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Does my happiness depend on my wealth and all that I own? Okay, so when he's asking that, you already know. Right? You know that he's asking that in such a way as to say the answer is no. In other words, he's stating it, you know, it's the implied answer. And so he's saying this, have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? I have struggled with this. I assume many of you have struggled with this because in our particular society, we're geared very much this way. This is kind of how our structure runs. But the difficulty is that when we put our trust in money or when we put our trust in gold or when our happiness depends on the wealth that we have, we are putting it into a nature of something that is subjective to the winds blowing left and right anytime. When your confidence is in the dollar, it also shrinks when the dollar shrinks. It's just like that's bad. If we have confidence in something that is unstable, we are doing ourselves an injustice, and of course we are insulting God. The reason that we want to trust the Lord is because he is a rock. He does not move. He is a mountain. You cannot move him. You cannot deter him. He is solid. And that's where we should have our trust, because he doesn't have variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not up and down. Hey, you know what? I'm up and down. D is up and down. Everybody I've ever met, to be quite frankly, is up and down, except for God. He is absolutely stable. He is our rock. And so you can't put our trust in money. We can't. And then, and just in case you're like, well, you know, well, okay, but then it talks about gold. It's the same principle. It's riches. It's man's equitable distribution of some form of wealth. Can't find your happiness depending on wealth. Hey, you know what's really great? You're a billionaire, but you're dying in 5 seconds. Guess what? You're no longer happy that you're a billionaire. It's like, it's so simple. It's like, it's not even that complex. And people are like, oh, I got everything in control. Everything in my life is perfectly good. There's no problem there. Till a piano falls on your head. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like this. Don't do that. Your trust and confidence needs to be steadfast, not blown around by the winds. And I understand it takes money to pay rent or pay mortgages or pay. I understand that. But you know who understands that better than me? God. And that's why our confidence can be in him, because he knows what we need. And that's where that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all that other stuff will be added. Like, okay, maybe. Maybe that's a better approach to take. Yeah? Yeah, I think maybe that is, because God does not move with the winds and the waves. That's why. Okay? Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives men, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom. Talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 14. Finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11, he says, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources. He did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 26a. "A person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. "I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We're not going to do the horn. I thought about it. But we're not going to do the horn. But you have to think that the answer to this is not from a movie. Okay, is that a nice way to put that? The answer to this, not from a movie. Okay, that's the best I can give you. As God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, what did Moses hold out over the water? See, now you see why I did that? I think everybody's like going, "Well, I remember that in the movie." Okay. As God parted the Red Sea with Israelites, what did Moses hold out over the water? Exodus 14:21. Uh-oh. People are like going, "What? Are you trying to tell me there might be something there that we didn't catch?" Maybe. Could be. Let's see. 972-445-0770. Also, 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. What does Numbers, that's the big key there, what does Numbers chapter 14, verse 21 say? That's a big key. In the meantime, I do have some jokes. There's only a couple of them, and they're really good. I just got to find out what I did with them because I moved my piece of paper over.
You know. A lot of papers over there.
Yeah, I got a lot of papers over here, don't I? Like, you think I've been like selling a house. Where's Aunt Deb? There's a lot of paper. All right. Here you go. Ready? Three jokes. Ready? Okay. Three jokes. Right? First one, Second one, pretty good. Third one, excellent. Okay. Here we go. First one. Ready? Did you hear the one about the lion who ate clowns? Did you hear the one about the lion who ate clowns? You'll roar.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, I can get that. Okay. What do you call an overweight cat? A flabby tabby.
Wow!
Yeah, that only gets one wow, by the way, because that was not that good. But listen to this one. Tell me how good this one is. Even I'm going to give this a D. Will know. Okay. A cowboy rides into town on Friday. He stays 3 days, and he leaves on Friday. How does he do it? A cowboy rides into town on Friday, stays 3 days, and leaves on Friday. How does he do it? Ready? Ready? This is in a movie, by the way. Al got it. His horse is named Friday.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God!
See? His horse is named Friday. So, so he rides into town on Friday, the horse, stays there 3 days, leaves on Friday, the same horse. Yeah, Monday fun day, right? That was a good one, wasn't it? That was pretty good, wasn't it? No, you didn't like that much. That's actually in a movie, but we won't talk about that as well. All right, trivia question. So you guys got to get that on this Numbers 14:21. Yeah, I know you're thinking the movie. I got that. But as God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, what did Moses hold out over the water according to Exodus 14:21? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David, and he must increase.
It's the second answer. The first answer, you think the movie, and number two,
yeah,
you
so
have that
don't
second
think,
answer in the
don't
back of
think
your mind.
The movie.
Yeah.
Because you gotta look at it, right? Okay. All right. Al, it was not Blazing Saddles. It was actually a movie about, just letting Al know, about a football player, a football thingy. Okay, just let you know. All right, anyway, back to the text.
This is terrible. I talked to people during the show.
We're weird.
Why not?
We're weird people. Pick it up at verse 28, right? All right. Pick it up verse 29. Okay, so we just did this thing about money, right? And it's like, hey, I didn't. No, no. He's like, no, no. Right? You can't make money. It's not that money is evil. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. In other words, it's not the money itself. It's the passion. It's the greed. It's the covetousness. It's all that stuff that's connected to it. Got it. Okay. Verse 29. Nah, this one's a little harder, and you guys just need to be honest about it. Verse 29. Have I ever rejoiced when my enemies came to ruin, or became excited when harm came their way? No, he says. I have never cursed anyone or asked for revenge. Listen, this doesn't make Job righteous, but this is right. Do you understand that difference? Some things that we do, that's not going to define us as righteous people, because we need the blood of Jesus Christ to be defined as righteous. But there's good things and right things we should do. And one of the things he said is, do you ever see me, you know, dancing in circles or whatever when my enemy falls? That is a problem in the church oftentimes, because the church is really good at throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which is a problem. See, the bathwater is dirty, supposed to throw the bathwater out, and sometimes they throw the baby out as well as the bathwater. Here's what this is all about. I know, and you know, and we know, whether you're politically involved or not, that there are leaders in communities, in the country, even in churches, that you're just sitting there and you're like going, give me a break, right? The Archbishop of Canterbury. I don't want anything bad to happen to this guy. You know what he said? He said, well, Jesus saying, our Father who art thou in heaven is problematic. Wait. So Jesus was wrong? And it's just like, it's just right. But you know what I can't be doing? I can't be asking God to slice that guy into 900 pieces and dip him in barbecue sauce and send him in. That's not right. Right? He's probably not my enemy, although severely incorrect. I mean, the idea behind this, though, is we can't be dancing up and down when somebody we don't like You see, that's the spirit problem that a lot of Christians have that they're not recognizing. What did Jesus say about those that crucified him? That, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. I have a feeling that in my heart that many of us don't recognize that some of the people that come up with some of the lame type of things they come up with, they're clueless. They just don't have a clue. They don't know what they're doing. And instead of having a compassionate heart, we have a revenge. You know, it's like, okay, I saw Revenge of the Nerds too, but that is really not how Christians are supposed to walk. And I don't want them, the people that are leading, to succeed in their anti-Christian positions either. But really wanting somebody to suffer because you oppose them or in a different place than them is a dangerous place when it involves people. And that's all I'm saying. Because as much as you might dislike it, Jesus died for people. And not just for you and me. He died for everybody. Is it all going to apply to everybody? No. But he died for everybody. We have to have more of a, I'm not going to rejoice when my enemy comes to ruin. I'm going to pray that when my enemy comes to ruin, I'm going to pray that that's the time the Holy Spirit moves. That's the time the person changes. Of all the people you like or dislike in politics or in churches, the worst thing is when somebody in the church or somebody in church life falls and other Christians are like, see, I told you. That's the worst spirit, man. That's terrible. How are you not weeping? How are you not praying for that person? They need to be redeemed. They need to be healed. They need to be touched too. And one of my big things, and you've heard me mention this before, listen, let's say you went through a ministry and you got saved, and then 20 years later that minister has a lapse and falls apart. That doesn't negate your salvation. That doesn't negate the things that God did through that person. That's absurdity. Or everything Hezekiah ever did was negated, and that's not true. What I'm trying to say is there's got to be a compassionate side to us. That doesn't mean that you support their evil, but you don't dance on their grave. That's what it does mean. I know, that's just really rough, right? I know, but you got to have a compassionate heart too, right? As God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, what did Moses hold out over the water? Did you look it up?
I did, Dave.
Tell us what it is.
It was his hand.
It was his hand. He put his hand. Everybody's thinking of Moses when he puts it out, right? And he lifts up the staff, and he's got it. It was his hand. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21.
See, the staff was my first thought, and then I said, "Oh, was it his hand?" That's why I said the second one. You know, in your mind,
you gotta think those through. You gotta know what it says. That's part of reading. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
Let me read this thing from Pastor Ray, and then we'll do the trivia question, and then we'll see what happens because I have no idea. This is from Pastor Ray, who passed away, by the way, on January 4th this year, 2022. He's my good friend, and I can't wait to see him up in heaven. This one's titled Joy, Expectation, and Delight. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This is Pastor Ray's devotional. I often see people go through a spiritual drought. More than once, I have found myself in this dry, dark place where God seems far away and we feel even farther. It's like being the children of Israel, once again wandering in the wilderness trying to find our way. That's when I cling to the belief that we are being strengthened and matured through it all. How we survive the wilderness experience of our lives depends on our attitude towards God's word. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and I get such a kick out of reading it because King David got so excited writing about it, of all the things he gets excited about writing about the laws of God. He sang about them. He put statutes of the law to music. He positively exulted in them. In Psalm 119, verse 14, he compared God's testimonies to the riches. In verse 15, he declared, I will meditate on your precepts. In verse 24, he says, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. David was on to something. He loved God's word, and he knew that the secret to enjoying life, even in the wilderness, was to turn to God's word with joy, expectation, and delight. As children, we struggle to mature under our parents' authority. When we're spiritually born again into the family of God, we become children again, reparented. Oh, what a great line that is. Reparented by our Heavenly Father as we grow toward maturity and learning to trust Him. Allow His word to light your way, and the wilderness will not seem so daunting. Let His word guide your feet, and you will never get lost. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. How old was Moses when he died? There you go. It's like, that's not, you know. Okay. How old was Moses when he died? Your answer is going to be in Deuteronomy. If you're trying to figure that out, somebody is calling in. I do want to take the time before we bring the caller in to remind you, one, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David, hemustincrease.org. So I'm going to send you up to the website. I did mention that we got some new search engines on there for the podcast. Plus, I also mentioned we had a very tough 4 weeks financially. Here's my response to that. Boo! So let's see if we can do better. Okay, we can do better. When you're giving into this ministry, I do acknowledge you are coming alongside us in a stewardship capacity to help us do the best we can to advance the kingdom of God in our lives and in the lives around us. That's our goal. There's nothing short of that. So check out the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Is that chicken?
Little chicken thing going on. Yeah, little chicken really farmy thing going.
So funny. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is a Chicken Express? Oh, no, actually, let's do upgrade. It's a Babes.
Oh, how are you, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a better beginning week than last week, so I'm gonna share what happened. So and people are gonna go, what? You're just gonna be like, you're gonna love me, but you're gonna think something's wrong with me. That's for sure. Okay. How old was Moses when he died?
Moshe was 120 year old.
That is correct, Amanda! 120 years old. His strength was still with him. So that's what the scripture says. So that is that's a long time to put up with the children of Israel. I just want to point that out.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because he was 40 when he went to the desert, 80 when he came back. And then that took the next 40 years. So his real ministry was in the last third of his life. Isn't that weird?
Wow, amazing.
That is amazing, isn't it? That is. How's it going otherwise? People need to be praying for you. Anything in particular?
Yes, pray for me. Somehow I'm just feeling a little discouraged today because I've been praying for something and it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know. I'm just,
yeah,
it is kind of a little weird. Like my inner being is a little sad right now.
Yeah, that's where you got that. And I'm reminding you because that's what we do for one another. Is that's where you get that. Why are you so downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. Inside of you is like going, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when it comes, it says the tree of life. And so you just keep, it's got to be coming, Lord. Got to be coming around the mountain.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So you got to hang into that, right? Lord, bless my brother Samson. Let him just have a greater sense of confidence and expectation. Chase that out of him that's trying to discourage him and fill him up with that which encourages him. We pray for him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Love you in the Lord, man.
Same. I'm praying with you and for you and for our ministry.
What do you hear what happened? I'm going to share now. People don't know. So I'm going to share what happened. So, hey, when you hear, don't feel too bad for me, but you're going to feel sorry for me. All right. God bless you, bro.
All right. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So I didn't share this yet, so I'm going to share it today. So most of you guys know I spoke last week, right? Last Sunday at church. So prior to that, about 5 weeks, if you guys will remember, I spoke at another church. And what happened? Dave got a mega cold. I mean, just not even a cold. You could just hear it in my voice. I was like, then I had to go and speak twice at the church at Stillwater. I probably smelled like NyQuil or whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And I was just like, And actually, the second message probably came off better than the first message, but I was just hurting. I was so tired. I was really weary. So get ready to preach it at Murphy Road Baptist Church. Shouldn't be any problems. Everything's going great. Doing good on my diet. Everything's going fantastic, right? Then I start noticing on my arm there's this really weird, like, thing. And I'm like, what's going on? And then my arm starts hurting, and I had already mentioned the tennis elbow and so on and so forth, right? So before I spoke, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not, I got poison ivy. Wait. I've never had poison ivy before, so some of them, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's not bad. I don't understand. But I can tell you one thing. If it itches, I'm scratching it, and boy, oh boy, oh boy. And so my arm was like a balloon. Just like, and so I was like, Lord. And so this is what I do the same thing you guys do. There's no different for me than anybody else. You know, I just come before the Lord and I go, this is typically what I'll say, and I'm just being honest. Really? that's my first response. And then, you know, getting a handle on it, and the Lord, you know, kind of helped. But I'm still going through the aftermath of it still today. Okay, but let me tell you, did I tell you guys about the creative miracle? I probably didn't tell you guys.
I don't think you did, Dave.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to just bear with me. So anyway, what they do for poison ivy is they give you a steroid. Okay, there's a steroid, and then you're supposed to, like, don't take hot, you know, baths, or, you know, don't take long hot showers or anything like that, which is terrible because I do a lot of praying in the bathtub, so for me it's a drag. So anyway, so they gave me my steroid shot. Now listen to what happened. They gave me my steroid shot, and then the next day I was supposed to get the medicine, right? They forgot to call the medicine in. So now the effectiveness of the steroid shot is just, wait, hold on. But, you know, then I'm like, okay, I'm really itchy. This is not working. So then they do call the medicine, and I'm like, hey, you know, I don't complain about stuff. I just, like, you know, no worries. But I was really, really, really itchy. And then we got the medicine. It's like 3 days later. Noelle goes back into her store, into the pharmacy, to find other lotions because I use Sarna. I don't know. Most people don't know what that is, but it's kind of an anti-itch lotion and a few other things, plus the Benadryl, plus everything else. And the lady says, aren't you Mrs. Spoon? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I have a script for your husband. Well, we already got the script. But by the grace of God, they called it in twice. And that helped me push through so I can get through the sermon. And we were like, there's no way. I mean, that's never happened. They've called it in twice. Are you kidding? It's hard enough to get them to call it in once. And it's like, but by the grace of God, I got through it. Here's my whole point in telling you that. We all go through that. Everybody, you, me, financial, physical, relationship-oriented. Sometimes your brain feels like it's on tilt. I mean, you never feel like your brain's on tilt? I have. Sometimes your brain's on tilt. You're driving down the road, and then somebody's driving like just. You're just like, you just know that. It's not good driving, and you're just not, your brain's not there. But sometimes your heart is so heavy because of other things. All of that, that's part of the walk, okay? I'm not saying you have to go through that because you're cursed or anything like that. What I'm saying is, in a fallen world that has not fully been redeemed yet, and if it had been fully been redeemed, there would be no death. So it's not a theological, it's no theological discussion there. Death has not yet been eliminated, so it's not fully redeemed. There's no question. You can't even discuss that. Well, you can, but it won't matter. But you go through stuff. But how you get through stuff is after you repent for complaining. I'm sorry, I was just talking about myself. After you kind of process through, you see the moments that the hand of God inserts himself into what you're going through. And then you recognize you're not going through it alone. You see that God does something amazing, that he has some kind of gathering, some meeting, something happens, and you know God is doing it with you. Even though it was harder, or even though it was this and that and going on, but then you get to see those moments where you know, hey, look at that moment right there. That's a miracle. How does that happen? And that's God's signature into your life, saying, I love you. I'm with you. I know. It's a bummer. It'll be over soon. Isn't that so powerful? And just think about how powerful that is. God signatures your life all the time. He signs into your life these fantastic things, just like we said in the very beginning of the show, because he loves you. And so some people are like, oh, you should never confess anything that's bad, and it's all about confession. It's all about – no, it's not. Come on. Jesus confessed. That's why he went through a storm. That's just so silly. It's just silly. What it is that we tend to look at what's going on and the hard things, and we say – you know, why are you letting this happen versus looking at the things and saying, look, there's God's signature in the middle of it. And that's what will get you through. Because if the Lord tarries, that's the only thing that's going to get you and I through, is his signature in the midst of what we go through. Look for the signature of God in your life. It's there because all things work together for good to them that love God. That's you. Okay? All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull-oney. There, that's better. CowPunchSites.com/dad.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Amazing grace, how sweet. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to fire through the trivia, the history, and then the last teaching, and then we're going to close with prayer for everybody. But let's do the trivia first. Who was chosen to lead Israel after Moses had died? Now I got nothing to say. If you don't get that, I'm very, very upset.
No hints for that
one. No hints for that. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who took over for Mo? Just that simple, right? Actually, that question should not have been asked that way because there's a part of it that's wrong. But who took over for Mo? Who took over for Moses? If you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, let's do our history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right. It's really funny because, today is Cow Appreciation Day.
Oh, wow.
I know. If that has to do with steaks, I'm so there. It's like, I don't care.
It's depending on how you look at that.
Yeah, no. I totally appreciate the cow. Today is also Teddy Bear Picnic Day.
Meaning?
I guess you go on a picnic and you take your teddy bear.
Interesting.
That's a different one. It's also Don't Step on a Bee Day. You need a day to tell you not to step on a bee? That's not good. On this day in 1985, New Coke announced it was bringing back the original formula called Coca-Cola Classic. So they, a big deal, making billions and billions and billions. And now we have a new formula. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So
that was a disaster. And then on this day in 1913, the hottest day in the United States was recorded in Death Valley, California, 134 degrees.
My goodness.
That's hot. That is hot. I'm just going to say that right now. Okay? All right. All right. Trivia question. Who took over for Moses? That's your question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We will finish off this portion of Job complaining and his friends complaining with verse 34.
answer the trivia, and then we're going to close with prayer. Listen to verse 34 in Job 31. Have I feared the crowd or its contempt so that I refuse to acknowledge my sin and would not go outside? Let me just take the moment to give you the one of the great truths that's filtered throughout Scripture, and that is, if you're trying to live for the pleasure of the people, you are in big trouble. There was such a relevance to how people were perceived that certain people would not acknowledge Jesus as Lord because of their fear for being put out of the temple. That means that people did not make the decision to move forward and profess Jesus Christ because they were afraid of what other people would think. And if you and I live our lives for other people's approval, I just want to make sure you get that. If we live our lives for other people's approval, then we are putting ourselves not just in bondage, but in the midst of a lie. Because not one of those people that grant that kind of approval have anything to give you eternally, nor have they really any ability, nor is that even remotely important to them, nor do they love you and care for you, nor does it's all that stuff, it's all a lie. If you live for the author and not the audience, you're on the right track. If you live for the audience and not the author, you are on the wrong path. So Job goes, was I so afraid of the crowd? I didn't acknowledge my sin. I didn't. Nope. Don't ever do that. In fact, if you're more afraid about what people think of you than you confessing and being honest with God, you're already in trouble. And you better repent from that right there, because that's not okay.
Well, other people will think I'm bad.
I think it's substantially more important for you to get it right with God. Wait, I'll take that back. God thinks it's substantially more important for you to get it right with God. There. That's the right way to say that. Okay? All right. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, bro?
I'm doing fine. I'm very blessed. I consider my past history. I'm doing better than it was. So,
Amen, yeah. Brother. Amen. Things could be a lot worse, right? That's good. That's good, yeah. Brother. All right, my friend. You ready?
Yeah.
Who took over for Moses?
I'm the faithful Joshua.
That is correct, Commander! That is what I named my firstborn child. So that is exactly right. Took over for Mo. I mean, what a guy. I mean, he's just, I love Joshua because he's just like, nope, this is how we're doing it. Nope, this is how we're doing it. It's like, wow, I just love that.
Amen. Well, that's, yeah. And it's good to have a backup faithful leader. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yahweh knew what he's doing when he picked him out. So.
Amen, bro.
All right. Take care of y'all. Save y'all. I'm missing a lot of voices. Missing Mary a lot.
Yeah.
And some of the other, I mean, you've got a lot of new listeners, and it's going to crowd the line, the airways. But there are a few of us that slip in, and we still remind us about those old faithful ones from the past, like Mary and so forth and so on. So, yeah. Mary's out there. Mary, we love you with special love, okay?
Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother. And you are never, by the way, crowding the line. Never. Just so you
really
can know. You never, you've never crowded the line once, okay?
Okay, bud. All thank
right,
y'all.
Bro. All right.
Yeah. Bless y'all.
All right. God bless you, bro. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. So that's we're going to close it out with prayer. So Dynamite Dean asked me to pray about something, so I do want to pray for that. So let's do it, and hopefully I'll connect that. But let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up the audience, everybody that's listening to you. Lord, some people are in isolation, and they can't afford to be. and they're so isolated and they're alone and they don't have anybody to fellowship with and they don't have people to stand with them and they don't have enough encouragement. We know the radio show, it can do a little bit, Lord, but it can't do all of it. But it can do some, and we hope you use it that way. But for those people that are out there, they're hurting, they're alone, they're isolated. And even to the point where they're feeling like their prayers are cold, their hearts are cold, their fellowship is cold. You are the one that lights the fire. You are the one that makes the connections. And so for those of us in the audience who need better connections, myself included, connect us. Connect us to your people. There's a network we could not possibly understand, directed by your Holy Spirit. Connect us to that network and pull us away from the coldness and pull us away from the isolation and fill us with the joy that comes from knowing, blessing, strengthening, loving, praying, and caring for one another. Just like Brother A said for Mary. Just for some of these people who are distant and haven't been touched with us of late. We just pray that we would come together as the body in a way that will honor you. In a way that will honor your name. With our Lord Jesus Christ as the head. That's what we pray. Help us get there, Lord, step by step, inch by inch, Lord, by your grace, by your mercy, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.